Okay, these are continuing recordings with Dr. Chetna. So the question is about practicality and applicability. You know, I think most people would agree that any kind of meditation technique or meditation process or the things that we have been talking about, if they're not actually applied or if they're not applicable or practical, then they are just, you know, ideas and they don't really help as much. So when we use the word practicability or practicality, actually that's the word, practicality, what does that mean exactly? And what does that mean to you as a physician, as a meditation teacher? And then what is it that you want those who are attending the meditation groups to get out of, you know, what you're trying to teach in the with regards to the word practical?
Yeah, so this is very important because it's okay to read, to listen, to understand concepts and everything, but if this doesn't translate into how you can make your life better in whatever way, whether it is mentally, emotionally, whether it is physically, relationships, any of these things, then it's okay. I mean, knowledge is never a waste, but it would be better if you could apply all these things to your life. And that's my hope, and that's my goal for teaching these meditation classes. And there's not enough that we can cover as far as dialogues like these and topics like this in the meditation course. So it's good to do these recordings where people get a chance to listen to different perspectives. So than what they've been used to, and from people, from society, from friends and public and media, whatever, all the other things. Most of the time, I think if you start from the basic, and I can tell you from my journey, I didn't know there was, better to say, I didn't know that I could change my inner environment. And what I mean by that is that I even had a choice. I had the power of manifesting what I wanted, choosing the way I want my life to go. Because most of the time, how I was conditioned to be dependent on my circumstances, and kind of, I wouldn't say victim, but a product of my circumstances or situations in my life. And we were told, okay, this is how the world is, things happen in your life, and you just go with it because that's your destiny and that is your future, which is true in part because we don't have control over what happens around us, because we're not the only ones who are involved. The people around us are different. There are other human beings who have different behaviors, they make different choices, so it does affect us. But the part what I want to bring in into awareness of people is that we have all the power in us to really create our own future and to, you know, create our own destiny. And what I mean by that is whatever the circumstances in your life, if you could feel stable or calm, or a state where you like being in the sense like calmness and peaceful, then I think we have won the battle of life, or, just not having to go through this emotional turmoil each time and staying in it.
Yes.
I mean, we all will still go through emotion because that's human. That's right. The human experience.
Exactly.
But knowing that you have, you're in control of changing it, and, you know, coming to a better state or a state where you like being in as far as emotions is what I didn't know. And when I found that out, or I kind of experienced it in my life and I still experience now, it's just a different way of life because it's much more energetic. It just feels you have, you know, more desire to live. You can accomplish more. You can bring it more. It's more purposeful. So all these things are a part of life, and we all have it to some extent. But then all the other things take over. Your emotions take over. The stress parts takes over. It's almost like you're stuck. You are in a cage, and you can move on.
Yeah.
And even though life goes on and you go on, but you're still in that frozen state
yeah.
internally, and it affects you. And eventually it affects your physical body.
Yep.
And when the physical body starts giving you symptoms, then you're like, oh, I don't know. I had not had all these things in my life, and all of a sudden I'm having these symptoms. And even then, you do not know the mind-body connection.
Right, right.
And what you do is you seek medical help, which is fine. But you're still trying to treat it with medications and go on and on for a lifetime.
Exactly.
And your whole life could be very different. And the way you choose it to be, healthy, vivacious, you know, with full of vitality, and just the way you want to steer your life. So you are the, you know, you're the pilot in your airplane, or you are the captain of your ship, driving it or steering it the way you want to, rather than the, you know, the other way around, where the life takes you and you just go with it. It's just not the same. That's exactly.
So you mentioned this word frozen, you know, frozen state, and that's very powerful, because that's the reality that so many people live in. They feel stuck, they feel trapped, they feel unable to move ahead, right? In a variety of different ways. So, what is the relationship between awareness and the frozen state? You know, so we talk about awareness a lot. I mean, so for example, if a particular person is feeling stuck, you know, they may feel stuck, but then you also mentioned you can come out of that, you can change that radically, like deeply, like a radically transform that, change that, you know, and that we have the power to actually do that ourselves. But many people feel that they don't have that power, or they feel powerless, or they feel low energy. So what is your response to someone who says, that I really don't have the power to change this, I don't think I can do this, you know, I don't think, I don't have any energy to actually change what is happening within me. So, and again, we're just speaking in general terms. This is not any medical advice or anything like that. I mean, I do understand there's people who may have some kind of physical problem, some serious psych problem, that where the energy is really damaged or really low. I don't mean that necessarily. Although maybe you want to talk about that also. I don't know where you want to go with this. But.
Yeah. So there's one aspect where I probably will say a little bit and then delve more into what we can do about it. There are different personalities and there are different places where people are stuck in.
Yes.
If you see, there's one group of people who will find the world, this is what I commonly hear. People say, oh my God, what's happening to this world? You know, this is crazy. The world, look at all the people, look at all the shootings, you know, what the people are doing. The world is going to just, just collapse and, kind of dissolve because of human behavior. While it may be true, but the reason we say that is because we do not think that we are part of the whole world. And we think we are separate from all those people. They are the ones who make choices. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you are giving away your power. So say that this person wronged me. And for example, let's go to somebody who's been through child abuse or, you know, rape or, you know, domestic abuse, whatever these are. Granted, you have had all these happen in your life. But what happens with that is these emotional loops we talk about is created at that age, and it keeps happening again and again and again, and you keep bringing it from the past to the present. Every present you move on, and that is what is a frozen state, and that's what your mind does. And so what happens, not only bringing the past to the present, but anticipating that the future is the same, and continuing that frozen state goes on and on, even though the world is changing around you, you haven't changed internally. So you go through these emotions, and over a period of time, it starts affecting every part of your body, because that is where it lands. It is in your tissues, it's in your blood vessels,
right.
You end up getting bone problems, tendon problems, organ problems, anything like that. The problem is we don't understand this connection, and that's why we don't know how to get out of the loop or the frozen state.
Right.
So how do we do it? So there is definitely, obviously, I mean, I'm talking about this because there are ways.
Sure.
Now, the first point is, however tempted we are to go back to that past and say, but this happened to me, this person's wrong, we have to firstly get away from that victim mentality and not blaming others, because this is where we take 100% responsibility, absolute personal responsibility, where you are going to say that this has affected me and I want to change no matter what. And that's where the desire comes in, to say that I want to change my life. And that is the state of evolution. Not everybody is at the same state. Mm-hmm. Some people just live on like that because they think that is okay to blame others and this is how. Because it's easy if you look at it. If I say that this is why I am like this, I don't have to change. Mm-hmm. And so that is a different state to where people are, where they live in it and they will always live in it because they don't think that it's their that they should change. Now, I'm not saying about changing in a way that person thinks in their mind. Yeah. I'm only saying change because you are going to change your future with this. So that is where there's a difference there. That, and you're not saying that person who, all the people in your life who were responsible for whatever happened are right. No, we're not talking about that. No matter what people did to you, no matter what circumstances, you want to be in charge where you can create your own future by not responding to it, by changing the thoughts and the emotions which come with it. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones you can do easily to move on forward. And the beauty of this whole thing is when you change, by changing your thoughts, changing the whole loop, changing your responses, by changing the way you feel and your perceptions about, you know, the things which happen to you, you see that your life actually changes. And it's just amazing how even people change around you because of the connectedness we all have. And if we recognize this part, the whole world would change, because it's so infectious, this kind of a behavior and this kind of, I call it magnetism, because your vibration changes and all these things, because people always want to be around people who are fun, people who are energetic, who have positive vibrations, people who are calm, everything. Because, you know, when you walk into a room, if there are 5 people who are meditating, if they are calm, you become calm too. Mm-hmm. So that is why it is important for each of us to move forward and, you know, change ourselves to circumstances, because we are going to see the whole world change. Yeah. And the way you do it is, meditation is a huge gateway for that, because you cannot change if you go into the world and just try to change your thoughts. Because remember, your body will remind you that your thoughts, where your thoughts are, and you keep going back into the loop. Yeah. So what meditation and this heart math, you know, techniques, which we spoke about in the other, you know, recordings, is a big gateway or big medium or techniques which you have to apply day in and day out. Consistency is the cue, because, I mean, consistency is the key, because remember, where we've gotten ourselves now into this loop of a negative loop, it's taken years to do that. So the body and the mind have been pretty patient and till now, and has become like this because we didn't give the body another choice. Now, if we want to make the same change, it's going to take time. But the beauty of all of this is it doesn't have to take that long, because now you're aware more about, consciously aware of changing your unconscious behavior. So that's what we're trying to do. It's kind of like a subconscious, you know, reprogramming, and it's not difficult. This is why the tools are very simple. The awareness is all you need. And as we go along more and more doing that and doing that, your habits change. You create a new thought habit. Then you experience a new emotion, and then this changes according to what you want. So what happens as a result? Because remember, we talk about this loop and how it affects medically, how it affects your physiology. So with these different experiences and thought patterns, your you change biochemically, you change hormonally, you change neuropeptides, neuroplasticity happens, and then eventually your genetic sequencing changes, your genetic expression changes. So this is not just something which is very, you know, like just meditating and, you know, what's going to happen to me. It's a whole sequence of events.
Sure.
There is, huge studies which people have done, like, famous people like Dr. Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden, the biologist, Bruce Lipton, they have done experiments on this, and they have proof, scientific proof with imagings and other kinds of testing, where they've seen these people change and reversed major illnesses like cancer, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, and they give you multiple examples and testimonials where this is so huge that it's amazing and it's phenomenal. Sure. So each one of us have to get there to make it happen for ourselves.
It's like an inner pharmacy.
Exactly. So we have everything in us. The inner pharmacy changes completely.
Sure.
Because the negative thoughts have certain chemicals. Positive thoughts have certain chemicals. So if you change from negative to positive, the chemical reaction, the hormones change. Everything starts changing and you will find yourselves physiologically changing, meaning like your body changes,
right,
and you heal and you transform.
Sure.
And that is the beauty of, or the ultimate consequence of all these things. And more importantly, your life is so much better, you know, the way you want it to go. You didn't even know that. That is a possibility. Mm-hmm. I see little kids, teenagers experiencing so much anxiety, so much depression, so much stress in their lives, sense of abandonment, sense, you know, whatever trauma they've been, because they're stuck in this pattern, they don't know any better.
Right.
So it's because of the, the loop we've created because of one step ahead. If the parents have senses, this is the vibration they live in.
Yeah.
And so that continues for generations.
Yeah.
So it's not just one lifetime, it's more generations down the road which are affected. So we have to intervene at this point, even for our future generations, how they can live a better life, and it's a better world they come into.
So it's a much broader vision than just the one individual being. Like, so what you're essentially saying is if one person really moves into a state of real balance and good health and meditation and what and all the things you're talking about, that has a massive rippling effect intergenerationally. It has a rippling effect in one's current life, and it can open this doorway into a great state of fulfillment, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's a better world to live in. You know, we blame the world about how bad it is, but we are part of the world. We forget that.
Right.
And, you know, people, I had somebody yesterday, I didn't go forward with it because they've already made up my mind. And this separation is a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
If we think we're part of each other, we would do much better. We would actually behave better. We could make better choices. And that in itself would bring the world in a different place. There was a study done where we have, what, a trillion people in the world?
Right.
There's only 4,000 or 6,000 people who are in such high vibration because they do these, they keep themselves there by meditating and praying for the world and the earth and universe and everything. These are the people who are keeping the whole world going.
I've heard that also. Yeah.
So you can imagine if all the million people changed or the trillion people changed, what a different humanity, what a different universe it would be. So this is why it's when I look at humanity as a mass, let's say a mass of electrons and protons or whatever, we are a part of each other.
Mm.
If you fight with each other or you take away these protons and, you know, try to, you know, like, repel with each other, where are they going? They're just hurting each other. We don't realize. That's why it comes back at us. If you're nasty to some person, somebody else is nasty to us. If we're being very stingy and not, conserving, money and wealth to ourselves, we are going to get sick. And why does that happen? Because it's not the natural state of human beings.
Yeah.
If you're all a huge part of each other. There was this study done during September 11,
right,
where they actually measured the electromagnetic frequency. And there was a huge surge of, because there was tons of people, I don't remember the exact number of people, mm-hmm, through the world who had this compassion go out to these people. So the surge of vibration, because they have these grids planted at different places in the world to measure this, it was huge. But it was not sustained because the event passed.
Right.
If that was sustainable, the compassion which we had for people, it would be a better place.
And usually those kinds of peak experiences are there when there's all terrible tragedy and trauma.
Correct.
What you're talking about is actually even, I mean, you, of course, to do that when that happens, but to do it despite that.
Correct. Because remember, this is the things which is going to help people and not curse the government, not curse that one person sitting on the seat. All these even people, the people who are making these choices, like let's say about these, things harming people and shootings and stuff like that, they don't know this. They, again, it's a matter of separation of individuals, thinking they are separate, we are separate, I need more, you need more. Those all have to also change. I mean, that's a different topic. But the point is that we are connected so much that if each of us change ourselves, even for a selfish reason that I want to get better because I want to be in a better situation, that would in itself bring you in a different state of mind and bring you a different perception. You would not feel the same way you felt before. You would feel a whole different way. When you tap into yourself, who your real nature is, and tap into, and so on, tap into the quantum field, you are in love. You are in compassion. You're in tears. And that is not just for you. It's for everybody around you. So, and that's what everybody will experience when you do that. And that's a whole different world which opens up. It's like, I didn't know there was so much love, because we only restrict ourselves to our own children, our own spouse, and some people don't have any of them. And this is the mindset we live in. And so we have this sense of loneliness, and we die very upset, and we die a very sad person. Those are all not necessary. It's just because we don't know any better. That there is a different way.
Would you also say that as this type of evolution happens, which is so described very nicely by you right now, would you also say, or could you say something about personal protection? Because, you know, it seems that many people feel that they're bombarded by other people, situations, circumstances. But as this evolution happens, could you talk about how a person feels shielded or protected from the, quote, onslaught of what they perceive is coming from outside? Did you see what I'm asking? Okay, so
there is two aspects to it. One is you can, in the morning, you know, when you get up and meditate, and you get up before you get out to meditate, you just say a personal shield, you know, literally intentionally. That's all you have to do. Say that I build a personal shield around me, which is going to protect me from negative energies and all that in the beginning when you're not evolved yet. But the idea is, when you move up into this highest state of vibration, you're not going to be affected by anybody. Exactly. And it's like this. If you go into a dark room, you cannot shoo away darkness. How can you combat darkness? Is you bring so much light in it, there is no darkness left. So people, when you get to that, that's the only way, actually. The emotional clearing we talk about, all that is okay in the beginning because you have to use all the tools you have. But as you ascend up, and I call it ascension, in your vibration, you are so bright that people around you are going to come up to your vibration rather than you getting affected with the negative energies. The reason that happens is because you allow the other person to draw your energy. And that's where you have to kind of literally intentionally say a shield around you. Say that I'm going to support this person, but I don't have to give my energy to this person to support or give compassion.
Right. So as a person is going through meditation practices, whatever stage they may be in, you know, nobody lives in isolation. They're going to be around family members, around pets, around people at the supermarket, around coworkers, so many different environments. So there's an interaction with others, and in that interaction, could you talk about how meditation allows for the interaction to not be filled with friction, with tension, with conflict? You know, there's always interaction, but can the interaction occur without disturbance and tension and conflict, or whatever other language you may want to use? You know, so we should elaborate on that a little bit.
Absolutely. So what happens with meditation and these techniques, that's why we want people to do it throughout the day, because you have to sustain it. It's hard to sustain it through the day. So things like, for example, if you know that you're going to talk to a person, even if it's your family, and you know that it's going to bring about certain discord, you would do the heart focus, whatever breathing, and quick coherence, so on, you know, whatever technique you use. What happens is the first job is to not, like we said before, not react. It's stop and really listen and take deep breaths while you're doing it, because when you are calmer, your prefrontal cortex is open, which means that you have more chances that you can think logically and think effectively and everything. Even if the other person is yelling and screaming and everything, they are doing that because they're not in the same shape you are. But with you changing the way you function and where your mind state is and your vibrational state is, you can listen to that person and then respond accordingly, like the way you're supposed to respond. Doesn't mean you agree with that person, but you can put your best foot forward and say, this is how I do it.
So would you say that it is possible, or maybe you can elaborate on this, you know, a type of interaction with another person that is not going to disturb the inner world, inner space. And because the inner space is not disturbed, the other person is actually affected somehow by it. Would you talk more about that also, you know, in the context of like regular meditation practice? Because we tend to think of meditation as, okay, we do this 3 times a day, and that's all fine. But along with that, there's these day-to-day interactions that can shift a person in so many different directions. Maybe.
Absolutely. So, and you know, in the beginning, it's harder because you're not, you know, at that state yet. But that's why you want to do these techniques as often as you want.
Yeah, so because we want to keep an aim as to where we're headed. You know, even if someone is in the beginning meditation class, or just beginning a meditation practice, or they may have done some before, you know, what is this state that we're aiming towards? So maybe you can talk,
yes,
you know, in that.
So the state we're aiming for is balance no matter what. Meaning, yeah, like even if you...
That's a great slogan, balance no matter what. I like that.
So it's getting that state where it's calm, and you're maybe... You're thinking, but you don't have to react with your physically, meaning your heart rate going up and, you know, the things which happen when you are in a confrontational situation. You don't have to physiologically react to that, but you're literally logically thinking of making an effort to make this conversation the best possible.
Yeah.
Even if the other person is confrontational, if you are calm, it actually influences the other person to kind of take a step back and talk appropriately. Yeah. Even otherwise, I think what we would be able to do is put our views or our choices, whatever we want to tell that person, very calmly and effectively. And the other thing is, the biggest problem comes when you're trying to... change the other person, or when you're putting your, you know, like your views out there, you want that other person to agree with it. Mm-hmm. That is when you get this disturbance inside.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly.
And that is a problem because you have no control over whether the other person will agree or not agree. Mm-hmm. All your job is to put your view forward, and if the other person agrees, it's fine. If they don't agree, it's fine. If you are in that state, there is no disturbance. Mm-hmm. There is no confrontation. The problem is that, because most of the time, and it's all of us, I have been in that state, when I'm saying something and somebody's, you can tell that somebody's, even if the other person is not confrontational,
right,
if the other person doesn't talk anything, is not telling you anything favorably, you upset yourself because you want that. Am I saying it's wrong to want that? No. But if it's not happening, you can't change by yelling and screaming or upsetting yourself.
Right.
So instead, you have to come to this point also of transformation where you say, it is all about how I put it. And invariably, if you put it effectively enough and the other person is open enough to just listen and actually make a decision based on that, they would do it. But if they've come with the intention of closed and they're just coming here to, you know, be confrontational for the sake of being confrontational, then they will not change their mind. But they might even consider if you are calm and if you're putting your views very calmly.
And also the significance of listening very carefully, attentively to what the other person is saying, particularly when there is a disagreement going on, particularly when, you know, I feel that what I'm saying is right, but what the other person is saying is not right, or somehow different, or somehow not adequate, when there's the I versus the you. So maybe here's a little, this is a little bit more of a depth of recording today. So, you know, the I versus the you is a central problem throughout humanity. Could you elaborate on the role of meditation and awareness or other such things in this constant battle that humanity is stuck in, the I versus the you? Would you talk some about that?
So the idea of meditation is to live a meditative lifestyle. I think we kind of touched on it and previously is to extend it and to affect your daily life and how you deal with it.
That's the practicality of it. That's the actual application of it. Yeah.
Correct. So what happens is when we're talking about how everybody is a part of us and everything, you become a little more, a lot more, or the idea is to become a lot more open to listening to other people's viewpoints really with attention and not thinking of from your ego point of view that you're always right or whatever I'm saying is right. Because there's always, what is the goal in this conversation? Now, especially if it's a meeting and you have to decide things on the, you know, the greater good or anything like that of the company or anything like that. So when you're thinking of the greater good, it doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong.
Gotcha.
It is more about what is good for that company or for the larger good. So when you come from that place, you are open to listening, really paying more attention and actually thinking about it. Maybe there is 20% of what he says is actually right and we should take into account. When you do that, automatically the other person actually becomes more open. They, you know, open their gates and, you know, as you can call that, and becomes more receptive.
And there's also a physiological barometer that one feels, you know, like a visceral barometer of the ego, that, you know, you can feel a change within when there's a disagreement going on where there's a sense that this is not right. That's a thought. But then there's actually something deeper there also that says, you know, that the I kicks in, the ego kicks in to say it's trying to protect its viewpoint. You know, so there's the divisiveness that can come about. And so the role of meditation in the recognition of that ego. Could you talk some about
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. So when you do, it becomes a little more larger than you and larger than I, where the I is not the little I who's, you know, kind of like where you are really thinking of your own bodily comfort, mind, that I'm right. And it becomes a little higher where there is a larger good. So in this situation, if you come from a place and saying that for the greater good, is it enough that I'm right? This ego has to be right? Mm-hmm. Or it is about what is the better thing for the for this company, for example, or for a greater good of whatever you're doing exactly. When you come from that place of actually making a difference for that larger good, then you're not going to let it interfere, because there is always a medium where you can get the other person's viewpoint and put your viewpoint, come together with a option or a better solution where you can use that for that situation.
So there's
in a private conversation, not even talking about
larger
good is one thing, you know, but even in a conversation, it's good to say that, I'm very open to listen to your opinion. Mm-hmm. When you come from that place already, the other person goes down with his, you know, the barriers or, you know, that wall which comes up.
Sure.
Because you want to give, everybody wants to be heard. There is no human being who doesn't want to be heard. Everybody wants to say that my opinion matters.
Yeah.
So when you go from that place, you already have made that person feel comfortable enough to listen to you also.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is the conversation one needs to establish before when you're making that initial, you know, starting up a dialogue. So that will improve the relationship later on also to say, and you come up with a better solution anyway for whatever you're doing, even in a company, in a meeting, whatever it is. So that is, that's been proven a lot in bigger successful companies.
Yes.
Because what happens in these, going to those company model, again, applicable in practicality, every level of, like, for example, Google, you know, which is the best model. We were looking at these, you know, the pointers. Every level, there's a clear hierarchy, of course, because that's how it should be, who reports to who. Yeah. But at every level, everybody, each person is made or made to feel that they have, they're in charge and they can make a difference.
Yes.
And this is almost like a power of, you know, that they, in their environment, they're heard. Their the opinion matters.
So there isn't a power struggle, although there's a hierarchy.
Exactly. Because it's a, it's kind of like, togetherness, that everybody can make a difference in this company.
Yes.
At their level.
Yes.
And so that is very important for us to, make each person feel, you know, validated and their opinion matters. When you start doing this, there is an excitement to come to work because my opinion matters. What I do actually is purposeful. And because ultimately, even if you give them X amount of money, the excitement lasts for some time. But after that, there is a kind of a, you know, kind of like an, not apathy is a big word, but it's more like, you know, you just go back into that status quo, like a inertia, where you don't have any motivation. But if you say that, come up with, you know, solutions of how you want to move, make, how you can help this company move up, come up with innovative approach. Because remember, it's not the level of hierarchy.
No.
We are all wise. We are all have different senses of wisdom, come with different knowledge already.
Yes.
And when we come to Earth, it's not just education. Only education is certain, only up to a certain level. So that person may have a great idea, which the CEO may not have. So that is why this is important to harness each person's ability to the best possible, and that would become the best, you know, place of work for that person.
So it's not just a job or earning a paycheck. It's much more than that. Much more than that. Would you say that it's really about recognizing that the organization that one is working for, or even a family that one is in, is really there to serve all of humanity, or is it impacting all of humanity in some way or another?
So that will even bring in a togetherness, a connectedness with the rest of the people.
Yeah.
You're not into this me versus you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's we and then us more than anything else.
Sure.
Because you know that I can bring in something, this person can, everybody is unique. We all contribute to this. It's a teamwork. So it is not necessary for me to be competitive, like I have to go up and this person has to go up. So that is the culture you want to create because it is the internal environment we're talking about. And when you have that integration in this company, then it you evolve inside too to do more of reaching at your higher vibration to actually continue that going. So one more thing happens with that.
Continue.
When you go home, you carry this vibration home. So when you're going into your home too, you carry that into your family, your extended family, where you bring in compassion, where it is very much needed to your children. You're not bringing stress from your work to your home, and you're, because you're stressed out at work, you yell at the kids, have no clue who don't know why mommy's mad. That's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from work. But then that vibration, which is a low vibration, carries on to the little kids at home.
Yeah.
And that's how they grow up. And they, their growth matters. So in the family unit even, you have to, you know, when you create a culture like that, it pours over, a spillover effect, where you actually help the whole families.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if every place was there like that to work, the world would be a better place.
Sure. So we begin with where we are,
and
we begin to begin the personal transformation process. You know, because the me versus the you could be considered a low-level vibration, would you say?
Exactly.
You know, a very low or very restricted. It's a restricted, or it's a contraction. Mm-hmm. It's a high level of contraction. It's a very serious level of contraction. Mm-hmm. But to dissolve the me versus the you, I just have a follow-up question on that. Functionally, there's going to be a me and a you. Like the two of us are sitting right now, there's a difference in some sense. You know, we have different lives, different backgrounds, those things. But you're talking about a state where there is a great deal of integrated collaboration, you know, where there isn't the force of the divisive ego that is causing difficulty. So could you elaborate on that a little bit more with regards to, you know, the difference between this lower level vibration and the higher level vibration? And in the higher level vibration, something different is happening there. And maybe it's difficult to verbalize, but there's a difference in terms of the internal state of integration. You know, one is vibrating at a higher level. So maybe in a simpler way to ask this question, what does it mean to vibrate at a higher level?
One way of describing a higher vibration is, of course, energy. You know, where your energy is, you feel energetic. So when your vibration is high, your energy level is good, you're more expansive, even in your mind and your heart.
That's the key. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. It's the expansiveness. Yes.
So you are more generous, you know. Yes. So you are not looking at these little things in people, mm-hmm. and everything. So you become looking at everything in a broader perspective. You're just more expansive. You're not limiting yourself only to this person. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking of the larger good of the company. You're thinking of larger good of the people who work around you.
And the family that we're
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yeah. So everybody in general. So you're not putting forth your insecurities or projecting your insecurities to the other person, because that's what happens most of the time. Because if you're at a lower vibration, that is what is represented as, because of fear, let's say. We are so fearful of things, so we have certain things we project, which is frustration, which is anger, doubts, mistrust. All these things happen because of that. But if we are expansive, those things dissolve. You don't have all these things. So that is not projected either at home or at work. And this doesn't just happen, but obviously it has to be cultivated at every level. So if each of us do that at work, you become more cohesive. You become a unit. You do not become, and there is a value in it. There is there's a huge benefit for the company or even the group for that matter, because each of us, even though we are, you know, we're one and everything is humanity, we have unique set of talents. We have unique set of, wisdom. We have unique set of logical thinking, and put together our own experiences and education and everything. So when you become expansive, you're able to harness these things from each of the people. And imagine if they put all their experiences together, you would be the most successful company in the world. Definitely. So that is very important. That's why at every level,
yes.
And that is going to be the key for everything. So talking about structure, the leader, the person who's at the top, or leaders, whatever,
yes.
They have to know exactly what the lowest level people do. So it's called servant leadership. And that is huge, because what that means is they can be working at that level, at any level possible, till up. So they do not have this hierarchy. I mean, for a structural level, because this function, I mean, the company needs to function, it's okay, but not mentally, not emotionally.
Right.
We're talking more like that person has respect to the lowest level of their capacity, of their abilities, what they are doing for the company, equally to what the other levels are doing. And that is when you're going to have, you know, a great structure for the company would be successful. Because after all, the hierarchy is only there because of education.
Yes.
It's not because of anything else.
Yeah, it has a functional purpose.
Correct. But otherwise, it doesn't have any other purpose other than that. It doesn't.
Yes.
It's not because this person is better. I mean, this person is better than this.
Right.
In what way? No, nothing.
Exactly.
But that's the psychology which is built in people, saying that people who have money are much, you know, respected much more than, you know, the ones who are janitors or who are otherwise.
And people are running after those kinds
of... Exactly, but that is not the truth. This is why the structure needs to change. And this is the only way it'll change, by changing individual ourselves.
Which is where meditation is really leading us. So this is a much more extended conversation we had today. But this is really great because I think it provides, you know, the overarching viewpoint about where meditation can take us, what kind of evolution it can create. You know, whether one is a janitor in the company or the owner of the company, they both can sit down together on equal footing emotionally and feeling wise and energy wise, and you know, their abilities are different and there's a hierarchy and their pay structure will be different and so many things, but at the core they're the same. I think there's something like that you're saying.
Exactly.
And you're talking about the fact that meditation can allow this kind of actual evolution to break through those barriers.
Exactly. It will break through all barriers, because when you meditate, when you know your true nature, when you go inwards and expand and become more expansive,
mm-hmm.
and become more aligned with your mind and body and
mm-hmm.
heart and all the rest of the body,
mm-hmm.
you will not be small-minded like you used to be, because that is not the true nature of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how the evolution happens, and you don't care about the things you cared about before individually. You are here because you know that there is only so much you need basics for yourself, and everything else can be shared. Everything else is everybody else's. If you really look at it, we don't possess anything. We walk around saying, my house, my car, my thing.
Yeah.
You've really been given these possessions just till your journey on earth.
That's
Once
it.
You die, we don't take anything with us.
Right.
So why are we so obsessed about calling it for ourselves?
So that's a great meditation also, to recognize that fact. You know, so, and it seems that most of humanity doesn't really recognize that. I mean, maybe some people do, I'm sure, but the recognition of that truth brings about a different type of inner life, is I think what you're saying, right? So that transition into this inner life through, of course, the meditation practices are the beginning, but as this evolution happens further and further, there is a profound transformation into a different type of life altogether. Right?
Exactly.
So
that's what we're trying to get into, because your whole life changes, because your perception changes. The same thing which appeared differently in your life is now appearing differently, because it is, you have changed your perspective. It is
mm-hmm.
not because the things have changed in your life. The things you even people. Like, if I had some misgivings with X and Y, it's not there anymore, because I changed the way I look at stuff. My perception changes. These people changed. You feel like those people changed, but they may have changed too, because we are all connected and you change. But
yeah.
your whole just to bring it back, like, as a perception about things starts changing. The same things which you used to look at differently is now completely
different. Much of the evolution that a person goes through in moving through the meditation processes as they're unfolding further is that there's a change in vision. The vision of life changes, you know. And so, could you talk about what you mean by that change in vision? Because we're seeing the same world. You know, so, I mean, we haven't used this word enlightenment as such, but I can just use that here, just to get your perspective on that. Would you say that enlightenment is a profound change in vision of the same thing that we're seeing, the same world is being seen, but in this expansive state, the world is seen in a different way? You know, I think you were going in that direction. Maybe could you elaborate some?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously enlightenment is the highest state. I don't know anything about it.
Would lead to something.
Possibly, that's what you've heard from sages and saints and everything.
And whoever,
but
yeah.
But we're not talking there at this point. No. We're talking more practical things and where people can measure it in a certain way. So, because then you would put them in a different class and it's like, I don't know how to get there. So we're not doing that.
So if we stay away from that word enlightenment, because some people think of meditation leading to that. So leave that aside for the time being. But, there is a flow to day-to-day life where there is an expansiveness. And there's balance and harmony, right? Essentially. Okay. Is there anything else that you want to elaborate on in this kind of... We kind of went into different things, but they're all connected together. You know, I don't know if you want
to... So coming back to like day-to-day life, I think you're still going to have these thoughts come in and some of the old patterns come in, even when you reach, you know, you've improved and evolved and everything. But I think the difference is, and again, you have to be aware of this, is the awareness is so strong that you're not going to let your mind and your thoughts go in the same pattern like it used to.
And that's the key point, is to come out of harmful and repetitive patterns.
Correct. So because that's what had led to whatever we went into before.
Yeah.
So that is the key. So in my journey, I can say that there is no perfection. Perfection is, again, a state of mind. But what I can tell you from how I've been in the past and how I am now is, do I not get thoughts? Of course, I get same number of thoughts I get. But to be aware of these thoughts and the ones which don't work for me and changing it and, you know, not giving value to it and, you know, replacing it with positive thoughts is what is more vital. And I'm doing it more and more and more to create this. It becomes a new thought habit. So that even if I feel like, for example, finding fault with somebody, trying to say this person's wrong, even if you feel like saying it, you catch yourself quickly and say, no, I'm not going to say that because that is, again, my insecurity projecting into somebody's fault. They may have done something wrong, but then you try and look at the big picture and see how you can actually look at the good in that person. And, you know, if not anything else, give them a blessing so they could change and move on and not carry this emotion baggage with you.
That's very nice. All right. I'm sure there's a lot more that could be said, but this has been a really quite in-depth today. And, I guess just one final closing question here is that if you wanted to give, just a nutshell, like a 1 minute nutshell overview or a synthesis of what you have tried to express here with all of this, if you could do that just in a very brief way, a takeaway perhaps, you know, very practical, meaningful takeaway, what would that be?
So by meditation, which is why we talk about, the main thing is how effectively you can change your life by becoming more expansive and going to realize your true nature, which has an impact on not only yourself, your family around, your work environment, and the rest of the world.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Chetan. No problem.